hurting me. Just wait.
What do you do with it? Swallow it? Good morning. Well, this week I lost a friend. I knew him for about 70 years. Right here, my tooth. A baby tooth. They pulled it. It was tragic. There wasn't anything wrong with it. At least I didn't think so. But anyway, I got over it. I'm going to get an implant, my first one. 70 years. Pretty amazing. Yeah. I want to share some verses. My verses are about death. And is anybody here not planning on dying? Right?
I don't live forever.
How about dying once? How about dying once, leaving the planet? Everybody's gonna be facing that, right? The problem is we don't know when. Okay, we don't know where, we don't know how. And with in the last 60 days, we've had a lot of friends that have passed away. Closest to us is probably Tom Hunt, but I also had one of my college roommates, Tim Weir, who his wife was the mayor of Ventura. He passed away, and another friend, Bata, who was quite a figure and Agora and friends of ours, and he passed away, and they were all pretty suddenly. And you know, death is something that we all have to face. And I pulled some scriptures about death, and you know, for a Christian, as you know, death is a different perspective. And I feel that death affects us all differently on who dies. In other words, we may not be dying, but someone else dies. And I think, like in my brother-in-law's case, it wasn't a bad thing, you know? And it's the first time I've been at an event, I call it, because it was an event, where I saw somebody die. And I've never had that experience. I've always been there afterwards. And not that I, just from that one experience, I could say, from now on, I want to be there when they go, you know, before they go. Because there are many ways that we die. I mean, if a child dies, that's probably the toughest, okay? But in this particular case, it was really cool. And I'm going to share a little bit about that. But I wanted to share these scriptures. And one is Psalm 146:4. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth, and on that very day, his plans perish. Which is, you're doing what you're doing, and all of a sudden, you're not. All your plans are gone. But the people that are left behind are the ones that have plans, and their plans are interrupted. And I've been helping my sister in the last 45 days. And I'm going to offer at the end some suggestions to make life easier for those that are left behind. They're pretty practical, and I think we can all benefit by those. Hebrews 9:27, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that the judgment. We have an appointment with death, all of us do. And when you share the Lord with folks, it's one of the good things you can share with them. Do you know you're going to die? You know, do you know you have an appointment with death? But the good news is you can have an appointment with life too. You can meet He who is life, and Jesus is life. And you know, you need to think about that, where you're going, and the fact that you're going to die. You might consider Jesus. And with all that's going on right now, the you know, on the planet, you know, the craziness, it's a really pleasant message. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:6-8. So we're always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yet we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. With my brother-in-law, seeing him in the state where he got off all support, or whatever, and he was just laying there. They had given him morphine, and you're like, it was just cool because you could see that he was there, but he wasn't. In other words, his body was there, but he was someplace else, and that was cool. I mean, I just went, that is cool. This is neat. I liked it. I'm going to ruin this whole thing. It was just a different experience, and I was pondering that. I was there for 3 hours before he passed, and different people came in and out, and it was just a blessed and precious time. Precious in the sight, Psalm 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. See, we don't know in that time what God is, what's going on. You know, we know that the person can hear that's passing, from what I'm told, but we don't know the communication that's going on. You know, there's nothing to be seen other than the person laying there. Now, I've heard of stories where, stuff happens, but in this particular case, there was something going on between Tom and the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. I know when Tom came and shared with us, he was ready. You know, he says, I'm ready to go home with the Lord. I'm tired. And I think if you're one of those folks that gets older, like a lot of us are getting, I'm not staring at you, Beverly. But if that's the way God chooses, your body begins to wear out. It's like an old car. If you have an old car and you're trying to keep it going, your body is kind of the same way. You're trying to do things to stay alive. And sometimes we want to hang on here when this is just temporary. Our home's in heaven. We're not citizens of here. We're citizens of heaven. But we see through a glass darkly. We see this is being it, and it isn't. It's temporary. Philippians 3:20-21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Romans 14:18. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. That's a great deal. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. If we live, we're the Lord's. If we die, we're the Lord's. You can't lose. Ecclesiastes 12:7, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Now, I don't mean to be insensitive, but I get deals on cremations, and I've done 7 or 8 of them. In fact, I got to meet the guy that gives me the deals this time when I picked up Tom, and the lady that I deal with, her name's Trish. She brought him in. She says, here's Fritz. He's our biggest customer. And, we had a great chat. And, we just shared a little bit. And it was nice, to meet these folks. But I handled the cremation. I know when Tom passed, my sister goes, when we're in the hospital room, and we had just a glorious celebration for 3 hours. And my sister, my sister is a third grade teacher. She's quit not long ago. I don't know where you're at. Where'd you go there? When did she quit teaching? 15 years ago, maybe. She's still a third grade teacher at 77. You know, she's the typical third grade teacher. She's bubbly. And my sister taught, and she always dressed up. She's got bright colors and she's flamboyant, and you know, she just, you know, invigorated the kids. And she is just that type of person. And she said her goodbyes over 3 hours. I mean, we sang to Tom. We sang the songs of the big band era. There were several couples that are in his Bible study group. They were there. It was over a 3 hour period. People came in and out. Two sons, Steve and John, came in. And John was there the whole time. And Pastor Rob McCoy was, he and Tom were really close. He helped with the selection. They became fast friends. And I think when Tom was here, he shared that, you know. God moved him from this fellowship to that fellowship. And, you know, God moves us different places. Nothing stays. It's a weaving. And Tom was really close to Rob. And when it came time for he knew he was going, Rob was in Arizona. He'd just flown over there. He flew back, got there, and within a half hour, Tom was gone. But he came there, and you know, he also shared. He and I have a conversation. And then John was sitting next to his dad, and Rob and I were having a conversation. And Rob was saying, you know, I love weddings. He says, weddings are great. But he said, I love death better. He says, I love helping people transition from this life to the next. He says, it's the most precious, precious time. And people miss this opportunity, and I cherish it. And I thought that was, you know, from a pastor, really a neat thing for him to say. And when Tom did pass, Tina wasn't in the room. She took a break. She was out in another room. So she wasn't actually there when he did pass. But through the three-hour period we were there, she kept, you know, patting him and, you know, saying, Tommy, you're going. And it was, you know, it was like a homecoming. It was just a blessing. And John, as Pastor and I were talking, John was next to him, and he said, he's gone. And I looked over, and he was gone. I mean, you can see he wasn't there. And it was just, I went, wow, it was such a struggle. And so I went and got Tina, she came in, and when she came back in, she says, well, we don't need to do anything else. Done. Where do we go from here? So anyway, I you know, was able to make the arrangements for what happened. But when it says, and dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it, that's what happened. There's no life there. And the memorial services we have are really for us to say hi, goodbye. You know, if you weren't there, they're really not. That person is gone. And I brought him home in a box. And she, you know, her attitude is, he's not here. You know, as we're going through his stuff, he's not here. He had a lot of junk he needed to get rid of, which I found, but he's not here. Which is what I'm going to talk about a little later. Luke 23:43. And he said to him, truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. I saw that. John 11:26. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? You know, you hear it, I'm saying it, but when you see it, it drives it home. It's real. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin pays wages, it's death. But the good news is there's a way around it, and that's Jesus. Yeah, we're all going to die, but we're going to live forever because of Jesus. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe it? You know, it was like 50 years ago, I was at St. Raymond's, and I was sharing the Lord. I'd become a new Christian. This was, for those of you who know, it was a Catholic retreat place in Hidden Valley that the Dominicans owned. And we were going out there to church, and my parents, and you know, I was all excited about Jesus, and I was sharing the Lord. I don't even know who I was sharing it with, but Tom and I assume Joe, and I don't know who else were there. And he overheard me. I didn't know Tom. He overheard me sharing the Lord with somebody. And it was from that he came to the Lord. Didn't know him. Didn't find out until later. And then, you know, the Hunt family, their history with us, and, you know, what all the things that, you know, they went through. And Tom's main concern, as he said, and I think he shared it here because he was sharing it a lot, his kids knew the Lord, his grandkids. He had a wonderful time with my sister for 32 years, who lived at 132 Pebble Beach, 32. You know what that means? Nothing, but it's just... I thought it was just... But it was cool to know that, you know, he found the Lord through me sharing with someone I didn't know. It had nothing to do with me. But then, in the end, it was nice to be there to see him, you know... transition. I thought, well, that's cool. I didn't plan that. In fact, I was playing golf that day with Todd, with Todd. And I got the call, you know, you need to head on over to the hospital. I go, well, that's going to be fun. But it was. It was great. So the thing that I wanted to share from all this is that we are all going to die, and death is not to be feared. And God, at the time that you go, He'll take care of it. And whoever is around, you know, we're there to support, and we're there to you know, encourage you into the next life, hopefully. And then I want to share a couple tips. These are tips, practical tips, for us. First, make sure you're walking with Jesus before you leave. Make sure you have a trust, a will. Do not resuscitate, okay? Write down all your passwords. I'm serious. For your phone, for your whatever you got, and give them to somebody. If you don't have anybody to give them to, find somebody to give them to. There's plenty of people that'll do that. Please do that. Your bank accounts, your pink slips, your deeds, make sure they're somewhere that someone can get at them. If you hide stuff, money, jewelry, whatever, please tell someone where you hid it, because when we come in to throw your stuff out, we're not going through everything that you got. Yes, we did, but anyway, there isn't nothing there. I'll share some. I sold a house, and the couple were in real estate. They died within 2 weeks of each other. They're Christian folks, okay? Doesn't get you off the hook. They had 8 properties. They redid their trust. They had the deeds, and they transferred them. They were going to transfer them into a trust. They did not record them. They had them in the house. The daughter, after they died, came in, didn't want anybody in the house. She put a dumpster out front and threw everything in the house. She didn't want anything her parents had, nothing. And that's the way she dealt with this. Put it in a dumpster. They left the house with one of their friends, a realtor. And we go into escrow, and they go, where are the deeds? Gal says, I threw them out.
Well, the long and the short, you can, but it because of COVID and everything, it's taken over a year for these eight properties that she sold, had them in escrow. Simple thing like that. And they're realtors. They should know better. Mm-hmm. And they're Christians. How about that? Doesn't get you off the hook. So, and the other thing is, if you have junk at your house, in your garage, wherever it is, that you haven't used in the last year, you heard that last year or whatever, please give it to somebody, take it somewhere, just go through it. Mm-hmm. And Trish and I have done this. We're still working on it. Because for us, our kids really don't want anything. And I will tell you, your kids really don't want anything. They'll want some pictures. They'll want something silly that's not worth anything to anybody. But the rest of the stuff is going to go in the round file. It's not going to be there. So that's just a little practical stuff that I throw in there. It has been fun with my sister going through stuff, but, you know, it makes you crazy because you're trying to deal with the death of that person, and you want to have pleasant memories, and you know, you got all this stuff, and that stuff can actually be a weight around your neck and burden you down, and you have to go through all the junk. And we're hoarders. Every one of us. Every one of us has stuff. I just cleaned the garage yesterday for the 12th time in the last 3 weeks. Yep. Anyway, that's all I have to share.